Okay, so we have come to the end of this retreat, but of course samsara goes on, and the practice of the Dhamma keeps going. And just maybe very briefly, just to recap on the things that I have said during this retreat, it's all been about the Noble Eightfold Path. And one of the things that when you read the Noble Eightfold Path carefully, what you see that it is all about is basically the path of purification. It's the original Visuddhimagga, right? That's the Noble Eightfold Path. So instead of reading the Visuddhimagga, just study the Noble Eightfold Path instead. It's probably much more useful and much more direct teaching from the Buddha himself. So what that means, if it is the path of purification, it means that when we look at our meditation practice, we see how the meditation goes, and if the meditation is stopping, is kind of plateauing at a certain level, it doesn't advance and all these kind of things, then always we have to look at this path of purification to find out what our problem is. And it takes honesty, it takes integrity, it takes truthfulness, to look inside ourselves to see what the stumbling blocks are, what are the things that are hindering us on this path. But with persistence, with continuous practice, and with always having the sense of honesty and integrity, it is always possible to overcome these obstacles and then move forward. And you can feel that things, you can feel it inside of yourself when you're moving forward in this way. You can feel that there are changes in your mind, your life is becoming easier, and becoming more happy, basically, as a person, as a consequence of this. And your meditation starts to take off, and life kind of, wow, things become so much nicer. And this is one of the things to remember about this path of purification. It is not a dry path. It's not a boring path. It's not a suffering path. It gives all those things that we are seeking for as human beings. All of those things come out of this purification process. Happiness comes. Peace comes. Contentment comes. Right? Compassion. All of these qualities that we're seeking for, including wisdom, which is really the highest of all the qualities, all of that comes out of this purification process. So it's a beautiful thing, right? You purify yourself a little bit, and everything becomes more beautiful, life becomes more easy, and things are heading in the right direction. That is what I have seen in my own life as a monk. I've been a monk now for 20 years. You can see this gradual change happening gradually over time. And this, for me, is the most important thing to sustain your confidence in the practice and also to sustain your continued perseverance with these things. And of course, this ties in very nicely with what I would consider the meaning of life itself. I always like to say that the Buddhist path is the answer to the question of the meaning of life. Why is that? How do you know what the meaning of life is? Well, we look inside of ourselves and we look at what are our deepest yearnings, our deepest desires. What are the things that we always, where we would like to be with ourselves? And it's always about some aspect of happiness, some aspect of contentment, some aspect of peace. These are the things we are yearning for. And we've been trying for eons to, you know, going through birth after birth, trying to find a solution, always craving, desiring things, and never really achieving the aim of that desire, that craving. I've just been told that craving is a bad translation for Tana, so I apologize to Bantavardo for being for this, but I'm just going to use the standard vocabulary for now. So this is the problem. And then suddenly one day we come across these beautiful Buddhist teachings which actually give you the answer to this, right? The answer to this deep yearning inside of us that we've been striving for lifetime after lifetime, never actually finding. And then one day, wow, there it is. And of course what you discover is that the way to find that answer to the meaning of life is in a different place than where we were seeking. And that's why we never found the solution. And this is the solution in the Noble Eightfold Path itself. It takes you eventually, when you get to the high stages of samadhi, that's where you feel complete satisfaction, complete fulfillment. And then you think, wow, I found the meaning of life. And then the Dhamma is so profound, it goes even beyond that, right? It goes beyond to things that you never had imagined were possible to have insight into and to understand. And the depth of peace, etc., that comes beyond that is beyond the most people's imagination. So, what does this mean? What do we do on this path? How do we ensure that we continue to make progress, that we continue to practice in the right way? What is kind of the things that we need to look out for? And very generally, and this is the very most basic advice, and you see this in the suttas again and again. And I remember when I was reading the suttas, sometimes there are teachings you never heard before. Nobody has ever said these things. And you come to the suttas, and there it is. Right? And it speaks to you directly. It's like, wow, this is the Buddha speaking to me, because I can relate to this. I can understand this. I can use this in my own practice. And this is one of the beautiful things about reading the Buddha's teachings for yourself. Sometimes you see teachings that, wow, this is for me. Of course, it isn't really literally for you, but it is for you, right? The Buddha knows all people. We all have certain defilements and problems. So sometimes it hits the nail, and then you know, this is a teaching for me. And one of these teachings that I felt so strongly about when I was reading it was when the Buddha said that everything in life is measured by one very simple measurement, and that is whether you are improving in the wholesome, the good states in yourself, the good qualities inside of yourself. Is kindness improving? Is compassion improving? Is peace improving? Right? Is generosity improving? Are you becoming more mindful? Is your samadhi gradually coming together? And if you know that that is happening, then you are fulfilling the very purpose of the life of a Buddhist. That is what it's all about. If you continue improving these good qualities, eventually you have to get to the goal. So forget about the goal itself. That's only going to lead to more desire and more problems. It's not about the goal. Forget about that. Just ask yourself very simply, look from 1 year to the next one, maybe from 1 month to the next month, are you slowly, slowly heading in the right direction? And if you are, you know you're fulfilling the very purpose of the practicing the Noble Eightfold Path and practicing Buddhism. And also look on the negative sides. It's always nice to look at the positive sides, right? Yes, I'm becoming more wholesome person. It's wonderful. But sometimes we also need to look at the negative side. Are the bad qualities declining? Am I less angry as a person? Am I more contented as a person? Less desires in my life? Is my delusions and confusions, are they subsiding so that I have more clarity in the mind instead? And you can see this over time. If you have a long-term perspective, you can see how these things are changing, and then you know that you're on the right path. It's a very, very simple teaching from the Buddha, and it's a teaching that you find in so many different places in the suttas. This general idea of just moving in the right direction is what it's all about. And I love this one place I really love. This is in the sutta... What is that sutta called? In the Vanapata Sutta. Imagine Manikaya has 17 or 18, one of those. 17, I think. Vanapata Sutta means like jungle thickets or something like that. And in there, the Buddha gives this precise teaching. And then he says that, well, if you are going in the right way, if you are increasing in good qualities and declining in bad ones, even if you are told to go away, you know, by the teacher or by whoever it is, you should refuse to go away. And you should kind of cling on to that teacher and not actually go anywhere else. Why? Because you are fulfilling the purpose of the monastic life. You're fulfilling the purpose of the Buddhist life. So you should stay where you are, even if you're told to go away. There was a monk many years ago at our monastery, and he felt that this was going the right way, heading the right way. And he said to Ajahn Brahm, he said, well, if I'm told to go away, I will chain myself to the front gate of the monastery. That's what he said. He had read the sutta, right? Okay, I'm going to follow it literally and chain myself. That's really, really attaching in a very literal sense to the monastery. So this is the idea, right? This is how we evaluate everything in life. And you can evaluate your practice, you can evaluate, use this tool to evaluate what choices you should make, right? I mean, as a monastic, I always have to ask myself the questions like, which monastery should I be in? What teachers should I have? What should I be reading? Should I read, you know, what should I do? And all the questions in life can be answered by these things. The Buddha even says, what kind of robe should I be wearing can be answered by that question. Is it going to lead to increase in wholesome states and a decline in the bad ones? Then it is the right robe for you. And And for lay people as well, you can ask these questions, and you can ask yourself, should I live in this area? Should I live here? Should I change my job? Should I not change my job? Is this the right partner in life, or is it not? Right? All of these questions can be answered by that simple thing. What is going to lead to an increase in the wholesome states? What is going to lead to a decline in the unwholesome ones? A very simple test for almost everything that we do in life, because this is how we fulfill the entire purpose of the Buddhist practice, how we fulfill this movement towards the end of suffering and towards the highest possible happiness. Nibbana paramang sukhang, right? Nibbana is the highest happiness. That is where we're all heading towards. So, remember that an important part of all this is to enjoy yourself. Make sure you enjoy the practice. It is not always going to be blissful, always going to be happy, but in general, we need to learn to enjoy this path, enjoy the meditation, enjoy everything. And when we enjoy it, then it becomes easy, then we can sustain it, because it needs to be sustained over long, long periods of time. You can only do that if you actually enjoy it. Don't make it into torture, make it into something where you have a sense of metta for yourself as well as for the rest of the world. And then it becomes possible. So when you meditate, don't force yourself. Don't say, I will sit for 1 hour every time I sit down. What you can do is you can have a standard time when you sit meditation, but sometimes it's not going to work out. Sometimes there are so many problems around that your mind doesn't become peaceful. So after 10 minutes, if it doesn't work out, get up and do something else. Right? Read some inspiring Dhamma verse. Do whatever it is. Whatever it is, listen to a nice Dhamma talk. Whatever it is, to then move forward and not actually torture yourself in meditation instead. So very simple things like that, to enjoy what you're doing. Be wise, look at yourself. Don't follow other people's ideas rigidly, but take charge of your own path. Know what it is that you need to move forward on this Noble Eightfold Path. And when you take charge of your own practice, when you take charge of your own meditation, you feel independent, you feel that you understand what is going on, and you're able to lead yourself in the right direction. It becomes very powerful in that way. And you take charge of your own life. You don't kind of, you don't take a teacher says, this is what you should do exactly this way, and don't, you know, deviate any kind of direction at all. When you take such a rigid approach to the spiritual life, it tends to become painful and unproductive. So look for yourself, what it is that you need, what you need in your life. Enjoy it. Be kind, be compassionate, and then gradually you will find that this path works out so beautifully. So now, if I don't stop soon, I will get the ire of Venerable Metta Vihari. I hardly imagine that he will be very, very fierce or anything like that. So thank you very much, everyone, for coming on this retreat. One of the great benefits of being a teacher is that you learn so much yourself. And it's very nice. Many people here have been getting very nice meditation and things. And it's always very inspiring to hear when people get nice results on this path. So thank you for listening. And with the conditions being right, as I say, maybe this can happen again in the future. But that is it is uncertain, so please remember that. It depends on so many factors. Okay, so that's it. Venerable, would you like to translate?